Okay. So my name's Ethan Finseth. Most of you might know me, some of you don't. I usually go to Hope in Fertile, but I'm here with you today. I go to Oak Hills Christian College in Bemidji, and I'm going for pastoral ministry and biblical studies, so I hope to be a pastor. So that's kind of why I'm here. But I'm very happy to be here this morning. I'm very happy to have the opportunity to share God's word with you, to hopefully give you something you maybe didn't know or you did, but now you get to hear it again. But I'm very excited, not too nervous, hopefully, but we're going to get right into it. So we know about the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We generally hear about God the Father as the initiator and orchestrator of salvation. We most clearly see him in the story of creation, although all three members were present. This is kind of what we hear in Sunday school and stuff, that it was God the Father that set everything into motion. You see God the Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. We read eyewitness accounts of his life, and death, and resurrection in the Bible, and it is clear to us his role in salvation. And we have been taught or have heard mostly our whole lives that in order to have eternal life, we need to follow him. And then we get to the Holy Spirit, and it seems that we know stuff about the Holy Spirit, but it's not taught as much. And it's maybe the least understood of the three members of the Trinity. And it is unfortunately not a topic that is taught in many churches. And we're never going to completely understand the Holy Spirit, and we're not supposed to. We're not exactly going to understand what he does, how he does it. But that's not the point. We are to submit to the Holy Spirit so that God can divinely work through us. And I saw the Holy Spirit in this divine work very prominent when I went to Guatemala this spring. And Jean's smiling right now, she knows. And I've seen the Holy Spirit everywhere, but it was different there. I really saw respect for the Spirit through submission and through trust, which unfortunately you don't see much around here. Sometimes we're scared to let the Holy Spirit take control. But I saw it very prominent there, and I really saw the power of the Spirit, not just the Spirit working, but the power of God, the power of the Spirit. And I saw how much he can move through people if they really submit to the Holy Spirit, to his power. And as those of you who were there with me, we even saw some miraculous gifts, you know, like speaking in tongues and even healing and stuff like that. So I was very blessed to see the Holy Spirit work throughout everyone on the team and everyone at Hogar de Vida, the staff and the children and people in the church we attended. And then I came back to the States. And it seemed like that spark kind of diminished. And it seemed, and I saw it in myself too, you know, why was it not as easy to share the gospel? Why did it seem harder to see the Holy Spirit move and to let the Holy Spirit work in me? Why didn't I see it as much in the people around me? And so this leads us to our topic for the day, quenching the Holy Spirit, and why it holds us back from allowing God to do great things through us and to do his perfect and divine will. So we're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:12-28. This is kind of the closing for the first letter to the Thessalonians. Paul's last thoughts after he more thoroughly discusses some topics such as holy living and the day of the Lord. And we're not going to focus on everything in this passage today because there's a lot, but we're going to focus mainly on verses 19 through 21. But we're going to read 12 through 28. And I've got a different version than you, I'm pretty sure, but that's fine. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So, again, we're going to start in verse 19. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Or, and I saw there's an NIV in there. It says, like, do not put out the fire of the Spirit or something. And this is a pretty straightforward command. Just do not, don't do it. But what does it exactly mean? So the Greek word used here for quench, which I'm not going to try to say it or anything, but it has the idea of a fire and extinguishing that flame or dousing it. It has the idea of taking something powerful and suppressing it. So when we quench the Spirit, we are extinguishing the flame that is God's own Spirit in us, because we know that the Spirit is like a flame, is like a fire in us. It burns, and that is God's presence in us. And I'll get into how we quench the Spirit more in a minute, but we're going to look at first at verses 20 and 21. So in the letter to the Thessalonians, Paul seems to be referring to prophecy when he is talking about quenching the Spirit. He says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. So, despising prophecy or rejecting prophecy. And we're not going to get into prophecy much today because that's a whole other topic. But we'll talk about it a little bit. So prophecy is the telling forth of God's word. It is a revelation from God that sheds light on God's word and on ourselves. Prophecy is a direct message from God through a spokesperson and should therefore be taken seriously because it is from God. So in this case, in Thessalonians, it seems that they were not paying attention to prophecies. This could have been because they were maybe scared that they were going to follow false prophecy. They maybe thought that prophecy had no place in the church. It doesn't exactly say, but they were rejecting prophecy, it seems. And they were quenching the Spirit because they were not allowing for the gift of prophecy to have a place in their church. They were quenching the Spirit because they were denying things from God through the Spirit. So this is what seems to be happening here in Thessalonians. Then in verse 21, we read that instead of despising or rejecting prophecy, we are to test everything and should hold to what is good. So in the case of prophecy, we are to hold what we hear against the Word of God to discern what is truth and what is true prophecy from God. This is because God, or prophecy, sheds a light on the Word of God and authoritatively gives us messages from God that are important for us to hear. So we've looked at what it means for the Thessalonians, and it seemed to be about prophecy, but what does this mean for us? There's, of course, a lot we can learn from this, because we can still reject prophecy now, and that would be quenching the Spirit, but there's more than that. We read this specific reference to prophecy, but the Holy Spirit is active in many more ways than just prophecy, so the Holy Spirit can be quenched in many more ways. So when talking about prophecy, then we get into the realm of spiritual gifts, kind of in general, and where they come from and what they're for. So spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit for a few reasons. The first is to equip believers to serve for the advancement of God's kingdom. Another reason is for the church, to build up the body of Christ and to strengthen and encourage believers in fellowship, to operate as one body, to represent the unity of Christ as a church, and to model the gospel. The last reason that I'm going to mention is for spiritual gifts is to bring knowledge of Christ through unity and to bring maturity in Christ to us as believers. So when we quench the Holy Spirit, when we deny these spiritual gifts, when we deny what God is doing in the church through the Spirit, we are quenching the Spirit, and we are not allowing for the power of God to strengthen us as a body. We are not allowing for God to grow us as an individual in the church. And we are not allowing for the church to be strengthened to maturity and knowledge as a whole through the gifts that He is giving us. And so quenching the Spirit can also happen in more personal ways, not just through spiritual gifts in the church. Rejecting prayer through the Spirit is an example of quenching the Spirit, because if we are not allowing for the great Spirit of God to move in us and through us, bringing us to a closer relationship to Him and bringing us into a deeper knowledge of Jesus and a deeper knowledge of the gospel, then we are quenching the Spirit. If we quench the Spirit, we are not allowing for God to give us a better understanding of Jesus, who lived a sinless life and who was mocked and beaten and was killed, all because He loved us so much that He wanted us to be with Him for eternity, and who said that is to our advantage that He goes away so that we may have the Spirit. Jesus said that the Spirit will guide us into all truth, and that the Spirit will glorify Jesus. And who are we to deny this? Who are we to deny the Holy Spirit in our lives? If it is from God, if it is God, then why are we quenching it? Why are we not allowing for God to do things in the church, to do things in our own life? Because the Spirit, God gives us life. He is the one who created us. He's the one who sustains us. And He's the one who gives us a way out of our sinful paths and our sinful nature. When we quench the Spirit, we deny the things that God gives us through Jesus. We are not allowing ourselves to grow in Christ's likeness, and live lives pleasing to God. And so there are a lot of ways to quench the Spirit. And I just got into a couple, and that's all I'm going to do today, because it can go on forever, but that's not the point. The point is to just let the Spirit work. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that, because I don't know myself exactly, but when God moves in you, when God is urging you to do something, don't deny it. When God is doing something in the church through the Spirit, don't deny it. Do not quench the Spirit. So my prayer for you and what I beg you to do is to follow the Spirit, is to let God, let yourself submit to the Spirit, because He has great things for you. And He has great things for this church, and He has great things for the church as a whole. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not reject the urges that God gives you to do good works and to do good things and to grow in deeper knowledge and to share the gospel and to understand the gospel. Do not quench the Spirit and hold yourself back from a deeper relationship with God, your Father. And it's easier said than done, but just get out of the way. Just let God work in you. Do not stop Him. Do not tell Him what you want to do. Just let him do what He has planned. Let Him work His will through you. Because when you get out of the way, and when you do not quench the Spirit, when you let God do what He has planned for you, you will be blessed. You will bless others. If you feel that God has given you a gift, whether this be something like teaching or speaking in tongues or prophecy or anything like that, do not quench it. Do not be scared to share it with others. Do not be scared to do it in yourselves. Let God work through you. Let the Holy Spirit show His power to everybody, so we may all know that who God is and His power. If you are feeling that you have something to contribute to the church through the Spirit, do not quench the Spirit. Do not be nervous that you are not equipped, because that is what the Spirit is for. Do not reject God's plan for you in the church. Do not quench the Spirit in that, because we are to be as one body. We are to act as one body, and that is through the Spirit. We cannot act as one body in ourselves. We cannot do spiritual things by ourselves, because spiritual things only come from God. So if you want to be successful as a church, if you want to be able to share the gospel as a church and to grow into maturity as one body, you cannot quench the Spirit, and you must allow for the Spirit to work through you in spiritual gifts and singing hymns and spiritual songs and giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. So I urge you to follow the Spirit, to do everything He says, even though it's not easy. Because I've seen the power that God has through the Spirit in the lives of many, in the life of myself. And I know that God has something for you through the Spirit. God, we've all been given gifts as believers, and so we are to use them. So if you feel like you have one, do not be scared to use that, because it is for the benefit of yourself and the others, and it is pleasing to God. So that's what I have for you today. My prayer is that we may be obedient, we may submit to the Spirit, that we may not quench the Spirit, that we may not put the fire out that is God's burning presence in us, and that we may be able to do God's will, God's perfect will, in our own lives through Him. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we may see the Holy Spirit in us. I pray that we may see it in each other. I pray that in this church and in every church, the Holy Spirit may move, that you may pour yourself down upon us and can show us how we need to live, how we need to act as a body. I pray that you can strengthen us and encourage us into deeper knowledge and maturity. I pray that our interactions with each other and others may be done through you, may be done by your divine will. I pray that we can recognize your Spirit. I pray that we can recognize when we are being urged to act obediently to the Holy Spirit. I pray that we may not quench the Spirit. I pray that we can be strengthened to do your will, that we may be strengthened to use our spiritual gifts, to work, let the Spirit work through us. Pray that we can get out of the way and can let God work through us. Amen. Thank you.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing
for a king.